slowly rolling into it and off of corner number four. It's showtime at Skagit Speedway.
Speedway. This is the 88 of Jaden Whitney out of Stanwood, Washington. Through Great Western Transport, Arlington Earthworks, Pounder Coating, Inc., Snohomish Napa Auto Parts, piloting the 88, it's Jaden Whitney.
It's showtime!
One car with the front of it that was junk, and another car with the back of it was junk. So I cut both of them in half, took the good part of one car and the good part of the other car, and welded up the other.
The reason why I decided to, you know, move to Sean's number and use it, which is because in memory of Sean was his V8, and you know, I just kind of lived for racing and racing with his number, just to remember him by
racing. And next thing you know, she's on the flag stand running the, you know, doing flag and all my quarterback. I'm like, where did you come from?
You definitely have to want it. You know, you can't just say you want it. You got to want it. You got to have that desire that drives you.
I hope they just like soak it all in, because you don't know when it could be over, right? Like, you might, hey, like, mom and dad can't do this anymore, right? Like, yeah. We don't have the money, or we can't find the sponsors, whatever it is. I just soak it all up while it's happening.
That was at Elma. This is a different track. I don't think it'll be the same thing. He's like, oh, okay, you can throw it on. We threw the GoPro on his car, and he actually did pretty good that night, I believe. So we're like, see? I, like, convinced him. I was like, see, it's only at Elma. You can't run a GoPro. And then the next week, I believe he blew up a motor with the GoPro on, so I haven't put a GoPro on his car since then.
Welcome to episode number 9 of On the Gas, presented by Skagit Speedway. Blake Anderson, Eric List, back here with you for one more episode before we hit double digits on the Skagit Speedway podcast. No racing this past weekend here at Skagit Speedway. We were rained out, had about 2 inches of rain come and hamper our fun on Friday, yeah. And it absolutely poured. And then even throughout the night, Friday into Saturday, it just wasn't good. So no racing, but we're racing this weekend, 360s, Sporties, and the CGE Garage Minister. Blake, how are you doing today?
Yeah, we're going to have a good chat here with Jaden Whitney today, one of the Sporty drivers that's currently leading Sporty Points, and they're in action this weekend. We'll have a big weekend of racing. Last weekend, that stunk. The Mother Nature certainly was the star of the show last weekend, but you know, all in all, big picture, we've had a great season here at Skagit Speedway, and really had been pretty lucky throughout the last year and a half with Mother Nature. So I guess she's due for a win occasionally, right, especially in the state of Washington.
You know what? As long as she can come last weekend and not next weekend,
exactly,
when we've got big money on the line, I'm okay with one rain. It's only our second rain of the year. We rained out Armed Forces Night, and then that was it.
Yeah. So
I think maybe Deming might have more rain outs than we do, but I don't even know if that's true.
Obviously, everything's kind of ramping up to next week's Skagit Nationals, $126,000 to win. Get your tickets now at SkagitSpeedway.com. 3-day packs get you a reserve seat. It's going to be a huge weekend with Kubota High Limit Racing. All the superstars of sprint car racing coming in, chasing a big check. Last year, we paid $100,000, just over $100,000. This year, paying $126,000. So the final race of the West Coast Swing for Kubota High Limit Racing.
And what a good West Coast Swing that is. And it's still going to kind of keep going with, you know, the Gold Cup. But it's always fun to watch those guys come on the West Coast. And with the talent there is, it's always such a big pool of 410 sprint cars between the Californians and the High Limit guys, or the other touring series when they come in, the Outlaws. The West Coast and sprint car racing is just so strong. So you'll want to be here at Skagit Speedway to watch that and watch some of 126,000 plus.
Yeah, expecting just north of 40 cars, so hopefully we can get to that number and have a great field. We're expecting a big crowd. We've got a lot happening. Pre-race show on Saturday from 1:30 to 4.
Yep.
Pre-race festivities from 2 to 4 there with driver autographs and games and all sorts of fun stuff at our pre-race party from 2 to 4 on Saturday. Obviously racing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and expecting great crowds all week long. Come on out, meet some of the stars of sprint car racing. Camp with us too. We've got camping all week long, expecting a lot of campers rolling in next week as we'll start to see the facility start to fill up probably Tuesday afternoon.
I'm excited. It's like when Dirt Cup comes around, Clay Cup comes around at Deming, when High Limit, you can just feel, there's always been a buzz, but that buzz just picks up and you can tell people are coming. There's an event coming, and that's always sad when everyone leaves because it's kind of quiet again. So it'll be fun to watch the campers roll this weekend. And you can camp this weekend, and that will roll into next weekend. Now you'll pay the rate, or a normal race weekend rate this weekend, But then starting Monday, I believe.
Just Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon, we open camping up for High Limit. So you can come in this Saturday and not leave until next Sunday. Now you'll have to pay the weekly rate and then the High Limit rate. But you can camp for over a week here and get yourself ready for the big race.
Yeah, and if you can't make it, obviously every lap going to be live on Flow Racing. So watch there. Check it out. Make sure to follow our social media channels. We'll have coverage all week long. But we've got another weekly show to kind of get warmed up before that with the 360s, the Sporties, and the Midgets.
And what's so weird with this is the last race for these guys before the season championship.
Yeah, that's...
The 360 Sporties Midgets won't race again.
Crazy to think about, especially we're a month away. We're off the week after High Limit, so we're off the first weekend of September, and then we come back with First Responders Night on the 13th and season championship the 19th and 20th, and then Survive the 55 the following weekend. So still a month left in our season, which is hard to believe, but it's winding down quickly, and the opportunities to get out to Skagit Speedway in 2025 are quickly starting to disappear. It's hard to believe it's already the end of September or the end of August, and college football ramping up, and September's here, and fall is just about here in the state of Washington, which is my favorite time of year, but also depressing because that means racing's come to a close, and we work to get to this point all year long.
Depressing, too, because it rains a lot more.
Yes, it does.
The summers are nice.
But we've got some more racing coming up, and that's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is. And we've got one of the competitors you mentioned, Jaden Whitney, joins us now. This sports sprint car battle is one of the many battles that has been close this year. We talk about it a lot as it's the Sporties, but it's been a close battle, too, with the Modifieds and was a close battle early on in the Hornets and still is a close battle in the Midgets. So that's even more reason. Come on out. Watch the Sporties. The Midgets, these are close points battles. I mean, there's only 17 points separated now, Jaden Whitney from Steven Hendrickson in that top spot, and so on and so forth.
20 separating the top three in all reality. Yeah. Justin Jacobson's only 20 back in third. So great points battle there. The Midgets tight through the field, and we've got some great points battles in the 360s through the field. I mean, there's a lot of points battles beyond the top spot that are going to be exciting and lots to get solved in the coming month. But as you said, time's running out. The 360s, Sporties, and Midgets, it's their last race before their championship night.
Yeah, and we can talk about that more after, but unless you've got anything else.
No.
We had a great chat with Jaden Whitney. Again, he's 17 points now to the good over Steven Hendrickson. Him and Jessen Jacobson were tied before the last race. Jessen falls back to third. He's 20 points back. But with that, we've got Jaden Whitney joining us this week on On the Gas, presented by Skagit Speedway. Well, welcome in our guest today. We got the leader of the sports sprint car points battle here at Skagit Speedway, Jaden Whitney, joining us in the broadcast booth high above in Skagit Speedway. Jaden, how are you today? Thanks for joining us.
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
So it's been a heck of a battle between you and Jessen really this entire year. How has it been from your standpoint to battle with him really kind of night in, night out when you guys race, knowing, hey, the points lead has been switching kind of all year long?
I mean, it's obviously good to be racing with a close friend, right? Like, we race each other pretty hard, but like at the end of the day, we're pretty good friends. So I mean, like, I wasn't really focused on points racing in the beginning of the year, but then we had some good races and I was like, hey, we're pretty far up there, and me and Justin have had some good battles this year, so it's fun. I love racing with my friends, but yeah, it can be some stressful at sometimes because, like, you go to make a move and you're like, oh, well, kind of got to be careful. Like, I don't want to make him mad. But at the same time, like, we're racing for a championship right now. We're racing for wins. So you have to drive everyone as hard as you can.
What's it been like this year for you guys as a team? You're running one of the Race Saver motors to kind of get that dialed. And I feel like you guys have it pretty well figured out, especially the last handful of weeks. You guys have been super fast.
Yeah, when we first got the motor, we were struggling with it bogging on restarts, and we still kind of are, but we've kind of limited our problems down and found some solutions. So, like, I mean, yeah, we have our team figured out pretty well right now. Like, I'd say we're definitely one of the top competitors right now. So it's good. We have our stuff figured out, and we've been decently fast, so hopefully we'll see what these last two races bring us.
You mentioned it. You kind of figured it out with the bogging down, but what was causing that issue first to start? Was it a fueling thing? Is it just how that motor takes off where it's kind of lacking power a little bit compared to, one of those built sporty motors?
Well, to be honest, we still kind of haven't even figured out the solution. We've just pretty much gone through everything. We did find in our tail tank, we had a fuel filter in there. And the line that was in there, the hose, was kind of kinked and the filter was kind of dirty. So that could have caused it. We changed that out and it helped. And then the next race it started doing it again. So I've just kind of learned, like, on restarts, what I do now is after we get some green flags going, the motor tends to get pretty loaded with fuel. So I'll just lean the fuel out under yellow, and then pretty much as soon as the lights go out when we're going down the front stretch in the 1 and 2, then I'll rev it up and then I'll put the fuel all the way back on, and then that tends to get rid of it.
What's it like for you working, you know, you get to go back to Reese, and Reese has obviously turned laps here at Skagit and been here a lot. What's it like bouncing ideas off of him, and does he give you much driver coaching?
Oh yeah, we get along pretty well. He's really funny.
He is.
We're able to communicate pretty well, I would say. I mean, like, I'll come in and I'll tell him, like, what the car is doing and, like, what I think we should do to fix it. And he'll do it. And there's even some times where, like, I come in and he's like, well, how does the car feel? I'm like, it feels perfect. He goes, well, what change do you want to do? And I was like, I don't really want to change anything. And then he'll, like, change something without me knowing. And then we'll go out and be faster. So he's pretty smart with knowing what I want more than I want. Like, he understands me more than I even understand myself. So it's really nice being able to work with someone like that.
What was the process that got you into a sporty? Because you raced at Deming for a while and then stopped, and then you and Reese got the sporty together. Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, so I raced with my grandpa Leo 2021-2022. And then after the 2022 season, he had some problems with his company. So we didn't really have any money to race in 2023. So I sat out that year. And then my grandpa's, like, sickness kind of got a little worse. So my sister was like, man, he's really going to want to see you, like, move up. Like, he doesn't have a whole lot of time left. So then that's when Reese was like, well, I have a sprint car. There's 3 more races left. Let's just have him run it. So we ended up, Mike Anderson and Mike Llewellyn lended me a sporty motor, and we threw it in Reese's car for the last 3 races in 2023. And then we did fairly decent, and then it just kind of took off from there. I've just been racing with Reese ever since.
What's the goals? What do you want to do next? Is moving up, is that something you guys have talked about at all, or is it pretty dialed in on the sporty right now?
I mean, we've talked about moving up since 2024. Like, the original plan was we were going to run the 3 sporty races in 2023, and then we were going to move up in 2024. That didn't happen. We're like, okay, we'll run one more in 2024. We'll run one more season. So we ran the 2024 season, and then with 2 races left, I blew up my motor. So that set us back a little way. So we're like, okay, well, we're going to have to run one more year in the sporty class, which is this year. So hopefully we're trying to get a 360 for next year. But okay, Obviously, like, we don't really know, like, how situations work. Like, we found some, like, 360s for sale, but the problem is, like, yeah, they're pretty good prices, but they have so many races on them that you'd have to get it rebuilt. So by the time you get a cheaper 360 and then get it rebuilt, it's going to be about the same price or just getting a better one. So we're still looking, but as of now, the plan is to hopefully move up for next year.
That's exciting. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
What would be then, how can you make this season better? The championship, and would that be done, or is there still something you want in the championship? Do you want to win these last 2 races and just kind of completely beat Jessen by, you know, 100 points, probably not going to get 100? Mm-hmm. Or are you okay with, you know, it being a tight battle down to the end?
I mean, everyone wants to win, right? But, like, my goal is for this next race this weekend, I want to at least extend my points lead a little bit. Like, I obviously want to win. That's my main goal. But, like, if it's just, like, not on the playing cards that night, I'm just, like, kind of not, like, gaining on anyone, like, just bring it home and then get the points lead extended, so then championship night I have less to worry about. That's my main goal right now.
Yeah, that probably brings up a lot of pressure too, you know.
Oh man.
But at some point you got to face that pressure too, so you know, yeah, might as well face it in a sporty and learn how to handle it, I guess. It's a good learning opportunity for you.
Reese tries to help me with, like, guy, I've been a wreck like this last like couple weeks. I've been so stressed. I was like, "Man, I hate points racing." He goes, "What do you mean? We're not points racing." I was like, "What
Chase
do you mean?"
Wins.
He goes, "We just happen to be in the points lead right now. We're not points racing." Like he tries to help me mentally like that.
So is he not overly concerned where you are in the points? He's just you're going out trying to win races, and you win points or you lose points. As long as you're winning races, does he care?
He obviously wants me to do good. I know he wants me to hopefully win this championship, but like he tries to act like he doesn't care, but I know deep down he's just as stressed out as I am. He's just good at hiding it.
I want to rewind a little bit to you getting, let's take a couple questions back, go back to you getting into a sprint car. What were the emotions like of getting in a sprint car? When you kind of look at the broad scope of things, your family has such a rich, rich history here at Skagit Speedway.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I raced for many seasons in a row, and then I didn't race at all 2023 until the last three races. So I was like, okay, well, wait till next year, when the beginning of the year, when everyone's just starting out. But then I got to race a sprint car at the end of the year, which I hadn't raced in a year. I've never driven a sprint car before.
What a time.
Yeah. So I was really nervous, but I was really nervous, and then I went out there and I was fine. I mean, I'll fully admit my first two races was not that good. I was I was getting tired pretty quick. I was pretty out of shape because I hadn't raced in like a year. But there's definitely some pressure because obviously my dad won some championships up here. My grandpa Leo had some success up here, so like I feel like people like expect me to do good. So like every week, if I don't get top five, or if I had struggle that night, like I can't sleep for like three nights straight because I'm just thinking of what I could have done better.
Does that get tough then in a sporty, especially kind of the way things land here? So there's some spots in the schedule where you guys go a handful of weeks without racing, so it's not like you can press the reset button 5-6 days later and go again.
Yeah, it definitely plays like a toll. Like one of the races I DNF'd this year, I think we raced that DNF, then we had a break, and man, I could not wait to get back here. I like just thinking about it all day long, like every night, couldn't sleep. And then we ended up coming back, and I think I won the next race.
I want to say you won. I want to say won DNF to win.
That sounds right.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So then after that, I was okay. I was able to sleep at night. And yeah, it was worth it.
Want to talk a little bit about the last time you guys raced here at Skagit Speedway. We went 12 laps, but you mentioned how fun it is for you and, you know, Jessen to go and battle each other. You battled each other for almost all those 12 laps. Did you know he was going to get to you that quickly and then saw him go and like, oh, I got to kind of get up and going?
Mm-hmm. Well, I started eighth, and I knew, like, we struggled in qualifying, we struggled in the heat race, and then I knew Justin went, like, third quick, won his heat, so I knew he had points on me then, so I was, like, going to the main, I was like, I have to go. I had to get to the front as quick as I could. I got to, like, sixth, and then Justin and Kira were battling in front of me, but, like, I was just kind of hanging there, and then we had a restart, and then I believe Justin got kind of biked up on the curb in 3 and 4, and it opened up a lane for me. But then once I got by him, I was like, okay, I have to go now. I have to keep him behind me because we're on the championship point race right now. So it's stressful. Like I just know I have to beat him. I know I have to. Hendrickson's in second now, so I have another car to worry about right now. So
he's 17 points back, I think.
17, yeah, but the point system here, like, you can gain a lot in one race. Like, when me and Justin, before we were tied, I believe I was, like, 20, 30 points back, something like that. Then after one race, we were tied. It just shows how much ground you can make up in one night here.
Is it hard not to count points? I mean, for me as a guy, I'm a numbers guy, I would sit back and be like, okay, there's two, there's four. Mm-hmm. That's where I would struggle inside the race car because my mind, I can't get off of that counting and in numbers. Is for you, is that tough too, to kind of just focus on the racing instead of working on points after heat races and qualifying?
Yeah, I tend to not think about it that much in the race car. Like, I like tend to not be like, oh, he's two spots ahead of me, that's so-and-so points. Like, the only thing that's going in my mind in the race car is just move forward, gain as many positions as you can.
The second you get out of the race car, do you go and ask, hey, what did I gain points-wise? Or do you cool down for an hour and then maybe go, oh, okay, I wonder how I did in points?
The whole season I didn't, until the last, after the last race, pretty much right after, I was like, well, how'd that go in points?
Okay. Have you ever been in a points battle that's been this close in your racing career before?
Oof. I wouldn't say this close. Like, I've been in points battles at Deming before, but it hasn't been, like, as close as this is. Like, me and Justin and, well, now Hendrickson's coming up, but, like, we've all been, like, within 20 points of each other, like, the whole year. Like, that just shows how close the competition here is. You got to be on your A game.
Yeah, Blake and I always talk that sporties are one of the most fun classes to watch, and probably one of the most fun points battles we've had this entire year, just because how close you and Justin have been. It's been, you know, Justin for 2 weeks, you for 2 weeks, Justin, you, Justin, tied. It feels like it's going to come down to that last Saturday and probably who finishes one spot better than the other, it seems.
Mm-hmm. I think that's exactly how it's going to be. I mean, like, the first four or five races, it seemed like we were in the same heat race every week. Justin would always come up to me and give me crap, like, God, can you ever get out of my heat race? Like, it was either he was on the pole and I was second, or I was on the pole and he was in second. For probably, like, five races in a row, we were in the same heat.
I look at the future of Skagit Speedway and looking at the sporties, not only the racing phenomenal, but a lot of young talent. Obviously, mm-hmm. You're one of the headliners of that young talent group that we kind of expect to be moving up, and I think the future of Skagit, obviously, you're one of those guys that's going to be carrying that Skagit flag for a long time, hopefully. Mm-hmm. That's got to be kind of a cool feeling when, as it goes back to your family history, your family's been waving that Skagit flag for a long time. And
yeah.
I think you've got a pretty bright history ahead of your – or pretty bright future mm-hmm. ahead of yourself here at Skagit.
Thank you. I mean, it's cool to be kind of following my family's legacy and racing at Skagit.
What type of early memories do you have from – your family racing at Skagit and kind of growing up watching your dad?
So when I was really young, I mean, I've been going to Skagit ever since I was born. Like, my dad was racing. So I was at the racetrack every weekend. I was turn 3 and 4 playing with my little sprint car diecast, watching him race and stuff. But my dad was always working on the car in the shop, and I was always in the shop. But like, when I was really young, I like didn't really want to race sprint cars.
Really?
I was really weird. I never wanted to race until like I was 8. It was my grandma, my dad still give me crap about it sometimes. Whenever my dad would go to fire the sprint car off, I'd always run inside because I was scared of how loud it was. But like, now I'm the complete opposite. If I hear a sprint car fire, I'm just going to go look and see who it is. But yeah, when I was really young, I didn't really care to race sprint cars or race at all. And then when I was like 8, I finally decided I wanted to race, but I didn't start racing until like halfway through the season at the quarter midgets here.
Okay.
It was after Dirt Cup when I started racing. I just randomly went to my grandpa Leo and was like, okay, I think I want to race now. And he was like, you finally want to do it? I was like, yeah, I think I'm finally ready to. And literally the next morning he had a quarter midget waiting for me. Like he knew I was going to want to eventually, but yeah, ever since then, it's just kind of took off, and I've been racing ever since then.
What did you want to do before you wanted to race? Do you remember?
Ooh, I don't know. I think when I was really young, I wanted to be like a football player or something, and then I never grew. So I was like, yeah, that ain't going to happen. So, yeah, I think pretty much it was just football and basketball, I think, was what I wanted to be when I was really young. But then as soon as I started racing, I knew I didn't want to do anything else but race.
So was it literally just like a light switch one day and you're like, yeah, I want to go racing? Or did you finally go like, you know what dad does looks kind of fun and I want to try it?
Yeah, it was pretty much just a light switch, honestly. Like, I couldn't even tell you what sparked it. I used to watch like the loud pedal videos on YouTube of like the non-wing sprint cars and stuff. And I always thought that was cool. Then, like, Casey Kane Racing had some, like, cool championship videos that I would just watch on YouTube. And I was like, okay, that looks pretty cool. I think I want to start to hopefully get to that level now. So then I asked my grandpa to race, and then I've been racing ever since then.
What type of bond and relationship was that with your grandpa when you guys would go to the track and race together? What was that like?
It was really cool. Like, my grandpa knew a lot of people. Like, I remember I'd come to the track with him, like, during Dirt Cup and stuff, and he, like, knew all the Cali guys, and I thought it was, like, the coolest thing ever. He's just sitting there talking, and I'm sitting there looking at the cars and stuff, and we got together pretty well. He was really nice, and he was pretty fun to hang out with, like, at the track and even at the house, at the shop. He would get grumpy pretty easy, but, you know, we had a good relationship.
I think the older you get, the more fondly you're going to look back on those memories. That's pretty special. And, man, the Deming days, do you have anything that sticks out there, like fond memories of racing at Deming?
Yeah.
Do you think you'd ever go back?
Yeah.
Would you go back?
Someone offered a 600 ride?
If someone offered a 600 ride, I mean, if it doesn't affect my sprint car racing, then yeah, I would do it. I had fun at Deming, honestly. My last 2 years racing at Deming when I was in the open class, that was probably one of the funnest times I ever had. Like, the racing at Deming is pretty fun. Like, it builds a curb right on the wall, the slow roll in the bottom. You can throw slide jobs there. Like, I loved racing at Deming. So definitely, like, in the future, if I ever got, like, offered, like, a micro sprint ride at Deming, I would probably take it.
Sorry, but, like, I cut off your question.
No, that was even better.
Kind of some of what your memories are, is just riding the wall around Deming?
Yeah, that... I mean, when I raced junior sprints for a couple years, and then when I first moved up to restricted, I was terrified to run the wall, because at Deming, there's not really a cushion. It's literally just the wall. And I remember, like, there was, like, a couple clay cups in the restricted class where I, like, thought I was running the top, but I was through the middle, and I was just terrified to go up there. And then, like, I did one time in the restricted. I, like, actually, like, hit the fence, and I was like, oh. That's possible in restricted?
Yeah. They can actually get up there?
It used to be. Not so much anymore. The way the tracks changed a little bit. But back then, like, it used to be able to where, like, restricteds can run the top. There was actually, you can even ask Justin this. In 2019, there was a championship race. And me, Justin, and Levi Klatt, we were throwing slide jobs for, like, 20 straight laps at Deming. And we still talk about that race to this day. It was probably one of the funnest races ever.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the slide jobs, you're able to throw back and forth to each other?
Yeah, I was throwing slide jobs, running the fence for, I think it was 30 laps back then. It was just, I think that kind of shaped me into the racer I am today, just able to read what people were doing in front of me, able to know, like, when it's time to throw a slide job, knowing when it's time to go to the bottom, just being able to read cars around me. I think that helped me a lot.
I think that's the unique thing about the sporties, you know, moving forward, especially as... You guys have been racing together for so long. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of you guys moved out of the junior, you know, ran junior sprints, then restricted, then opened, and then made that progression up to here. So by the time you guys hit Skagit Speedway, I mean, even coming from the Quarter Midget Club, you guys have been racing together for 10 years already, which is crazy because some of you, 16, 17 years old, while you have 10 years under your belt as a race car driver, but then to have 10 years racing with the people that you're running against weekly is pretty cool.
Yeah, I raced with Justin when I was in quarter midgets, and then in junior sprints and restricteds, I was racing with Peyton Drake, Levi Hillier, Justin, just all of my buddies I've been racing with ever since I started racing.
Does that make it a little bit easier to know their tendencies when you're racing around them because you've raced with them for so long?
Yeah, when you race around people for a little bit of time, you tend to know, like, what they're gonna do. Like, with Justin, and even, like, sometimes when I'm behind Peyton in the sporties, like, I can tell, like, what he's gonna do, like, a lap or two before. I feel like I'm pretty decent at, like, analyzing cars in front of me. Like, if the bottom's faster, I can see, like, if they're slipping up a little bit, like, out of two or something, knowing, like, okay, I have to stay with them down the front stretch. Then by the time we get in the one and two, hopefully he makes a mistake and I'm able to get by him. So, yeah, definitely, like, when the Californians would come up at Deming, like, I didn't really expect anything from them. I didn't really know how to race against them. But I feel like when you grow up racing with all your friends, you kind of learn their driving styles and kind of know their weaknesses.
To that same point, Jason's grown up watching you race and knows your driving styles. Has your driving style changed at all to try to people to try to one keep people guessing, or two just because you've kind of gotten older and matured? Or do you think your driving style has kind of been similar? I'm sure there always are little changes.
I feel like, I don't know. I feel like when I was first started racing, I would only run one line the whole race. I would never like try to like search for if anything's faster. But I feel like now, like if I'm running like, let's say the bottom for like four laps and I'm not like catching anyone, like I'll do a couple laps up top and like see if that helps. So I feel like the only thing that's really changed in my driving style is just being able to search around the track and figure out what's faster.
Who are some of the racing or drivers you looked up to growing up? Maybe not even locally, but just as a whole in sprint car racing. I mean, you're a relatively young kid, so for me, this will make me feel old that, like, wow, you know, that guy's has been racing a long time.
Yeah, I feel like when I was younger, I always looked up to Donnie Schatz. I thought I always wanted to be like Schatz. He was a really is a really, really good sprint car driver. Mm-hmm. So I was like, man, if I can get to that level one day, I'll be proud of myself.
What did you think then when you saw the news when he's out of the TSR ride last week?
That's crazy. I mean, me and Reese and my family have a group chat, and like the second that was posted, Reese was sending it the group chat, like, look at what happened, look at this and that, because we were just talking like a couple days before at the Nationals. We're like, man, Schatz is going to be with that ride forever, like until he retires. And then 2 days later, that whole news happened, and we were shocked.
Yeah, that was one of those deals. I mean, there were rumors going around at Nationals.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I constantly told people, I don't know, those rumors date back to my time working alongside TSR with the All-Stars. And, like, you know, I'll believe it when it happens. Yeah. We've had this for 4 years now of Donnie's leaving TSR, and then guess what? Nope, Donnie's not leaving TSR. No. So it's like, hey, I'll believe it when it happens. And then when it happens, whoa.
Well, I'm pretty sure Tony Stewart told Schatz that ride was his till he wanted to quit racing, pretty sure. So, yeah, when that whole news came out, I was definitely shocked.
I was too.
I never would have seen that coming. Mm-hmm.
I think it all made sense, though. I mean, I guess you look big picture. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can drive for somebody for 18 seasons, I think a lot of race fans forget that they were together 18 years. That's a long time. Yeah, you look at St. Ange, a lot of rides last 3 or 4 years, and they're moving on. They were together 18 years. Obviously accomplished a lot, but I think it was good for both of them. Probably. I mean, Donnie was not the happiest.
Yeah,
that was pretty clear. And
I seen some like articles on like Facebook, and I don't know if any of this is true, but like I seen stuff where like I guess Schatz was like not happy and
was complaining
a bunch. And then I guess Tony just finally got like over it, and then that whole thing happened.
Yeah,
I think it can work out. I mean, obviously Donnie, now that like Tony mentioned in one of the press releases, it gives Donnie a chance to kind of set himself up for 2026. Because now the sprint car silly season, as we saw earlier this year, it starts in April. And March, April, and goes all the way to January, and about the only calm time of the year is the first month of the season.
Yeah, when everyone has their rides settled. Exactly. But then, like,
Then you get to California,
and you get to, like, midway through the season, and that's when the rides start to change, and people change rides. So it's always kind of interesting for me to see, like, who kind of switches rides. I know at the beginning of the year, I'll, like, take bets, like, who I think's going to switch rides and stuff, so it's kind of fun.
The older I get, the less I enjoy the ride switching. I think as I get older, I kind of realize, like, man, at the end of the day, this is a job for these guys.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine the stress of losing your job, especially in the heart of the season when you need that job to make ends meet. But, man, that was as big of a news item we've seen in sprint car racing, probably in my time in sprint car racing, you know, since I started working in sprint cars in 2009. And it's all I've really known is Donnie and the TSR car. I mean, I was go to Knoxville before that, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he lands and what TSR does moving forward.
Yeah, back to that stress part, I couldn't imagine what Donnie was feeling. Like, you get fired, that whole thing goes down, but, like, you're still in the middle of the season. You have to race the next weekend, so you got to hurry up and figure out what you're going to do. I couldn't imagine what he was going
through. The nice thing for Donnie is that his family, they've set themselves up very well.
Sure.
I mean, Donnie's been very smart with his money, and that helps, but it doesn't mean it's any less stressful.
Yeah,
I can tell you that much.
Did you see Caleb Montgomery pulled his, speaking of changing rides, his Facebook post yesterday of pulling his seat out of the car? And it was got fire, newly hired, and it was of him. I don't know if this is a joke. This was yesterday. Unbolting a seat out of a car.
Knowing Caleb, it's probably a joke.
Yeah. Probably putting a new car together. Can't take anything that dude takes seriously.
He's probably putting a new car together, knowing Caleb.
Yeah.
He's pretty funny. He's pretty good on that. So he's pretty good on social media.
I was pretty impressed with him down at Placerville at the limit. That was a pretty good race.
He did everything he could do to...
He did everything he could, yeah. I think it would have been cool to see him win that, but like it's cool to see Sanders win it. But I definitely, my opinion, I would have rather seen Caleb Montgomery win it.
And now Justin's in the RSR ride through the end of the West Coast swing. He'll be in that ride up here. So that I know there was maybe Aaron was hoping to be back in the 87 for Skagit, but went back to Iowa this week for doctor's appointments and obviously didn't get the prognosis he was hoping for. So Justin will be in that ride up here next week now.
It's kind of crazy to see all the injuries that have been going on this year. Like, there was like a couple, and then like King's Royal happened, and I swear like
chaos.
Five of the top competitors were hurt after that weekend.
Their top three in points all got hurt.
And Courtney got hurt. Reitzel got hurt.
And Brad Sweet.
Sweet got hurt. Yeah, it was crazy. It was a crazy weekend.
Thankfully, it sounds like everyone's going to be all right.
Yeah, everyone's okay.
Time will heal them, but yeah.
Does that ever weigh on you as a driver? Do you ever, you don't want to think about injury, but do you ever think about that, or is it just not even a thought process?
I tend to not think about getting hurt that much. Yeah. I've been kind of good about blocking that out. I mean, like, there's been a couple of times, like, here, some people have gotten, like, a bad crash, and I'm like, oof, that was scary. But, like, I sometimes, like, if the track is pretty, like, rough or something, like, I'll kind of get in my head, like, okay, well, hopefully I don't hit that wrong, and then we end up flipping. But, once I'm in the car, once we start, like, that thought never crosses my mind.
It's just focusing.
It's just focusing on the driving.
That makes sense. That would be so tough to drive and think about it. Mm-hmm. Like, the second you're scared of a race car, the second you should be out of it.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
If you're going to be a race car driver, you definitely can't be scared of it.
No.
What do you think is, you know, obviously you said you're hoping to get in the 360. Is 410 the end goal to get 410 here?
Yeah, 410 is definitely the end goal for me. I mean, I have these goals, but like,
everyone
has a goal. Mm-hmm. 360 is my main worry for now. Mm-hmm. That's my main goal. But obviously, yeah, I would definitely want to end my career in a 410.
Do you think you would ever see yourself doing double duty in a 360 and a 410? Or would it be one or the other?
I think if the cards play out right, we have our program together right, I would definitely see myself doing double duty.
Awesome.
All right. With Reese, you think you'd want to probably go with... No, I'm trying to... you don't have to answer, but...
I would... Yeah, I want to race against Reese.
You want to race against Reese?
I want to race against Reese so bad. He always gives me crap saying like he'd whoop my butt and stuff like that, but I...
So he's got to build another car, then you two can go out and race each other.
I did race against him once at Deming.
Yeah.
Once at Deming.
Did you beat him?
I did beat him.
There you go.
Oh, there we go. So you're undefeated against him.
He still gives me crap, even though I beat him. There was a heat race. We were in the same heat race. And it rained, so we didn't qualify. They lined us off a pill draw, and we were both in the back. And then I think I started down low, and he was on the outside lane. And the car in front of me didn't go. So Reese passed me, but I passed him back a couple laps later. And then I like, well, I beat you. And he's like, it don't matter. I still pass you. Like, even when I beat him, he still finds a way to give me crap. It's pretty funny.
So what's a race week like this week look like for you? Has the car been really maintenanced and done since last racing? Or have you been doing some maintenance on it to be ready to go?
Usually 95% of the time I wash my car Sunday, and then I usually do my maintenance pretty early. But since the last race, I washed my car Sunday, and then I kind of didn't really touch it. I was at my shop all day Monday working on it. Okay. So it's pretty close to being done.
Okay. How often are you in the shop working on the car? Is it once a day, or is it, you know, Monday you get it done and then...
So when we had like a stretch where we were racing like back to back to back weeks, and what my schedule was then was I would wash Sunday. I always wash Sunday anyways, but I wash Sunday, and then like Monday I would go over there for like a couple hours, get some stuff done, and then Tuesday I would go back and finish it, and then like Thursday I would go and get the trailer done. But on the weekends, like, we have, like, a little break. I wash the car Sunday. But then I don't really kind of touch the car until, like, the next week. I try to take the breaks as much as I can just because, like, racing's stressful.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, if I've always been like, if you can take a break, like, take that break. So that's that's just kind of what I do on the weeks where we have weeks off. Like, this break, like I said, I haven't really touched the car until this week, so...
All right. Another question. How much do you go back and watch your old races? Do you watch, you know, every weekly race at Sketchview that you've been in to see where you can get better? Or do you just pick and choose, hey, I know this race I can watch and kind of learn? Or are you watching film at all?
I'm always watching film. The second we get loaded up after the races, when the drive home, I'm watching the Skagit live, like, watching the race back. And when I used to have a GoPro on my car, like, I would download it on my phone right after the race, and I would watch it. Like, even, like, I would...
Used to, so do you have the... are you one of the... put a GoPro on your car and you wreck? Or you just don't run a GoPro?
I have a funny story about GoPros.
We can come back to that.
Yeah, but I'm definitely, like, I'll watch my races right after, for sure.
All right, so what's your GoPro story?
Okay, the GoPro story. So, I... pretty much, since I started racing at Deming, I had GoPros on my car. And when I started racing at Skagit, I had GoPros on my car. I had two GoPro Hero 10s, but they, like, both would, like, shut off, like, halfway through the main.
Oh.
And I kind of got tired of it. So I wasn't going to run a GoPro. I, like, kind of quit, like, halfway through the season in 2024. And then we went down to Elma, and I found a nice GoPro I had, and I was like, okay, well, we'll throw this on. I threw it on, and two laps ago at the main event at Elma, a rock shattered the lens. So that one was broke, and I haven't ran a GoPro since then. But the funny story, so Reese, I bought a brand new GoPro Hero 10 in 2022, and the Deming race rained out, and Reese went down the Elma.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, Reese, how mad would you be if I threw the GoPro on your car? He's like, oh, I don't really care. So I threw the GoPro on his car, and then he destroyed a brand new car that night. So then he raced at Skagit a couple weeks later, and I was like, okay, can I throw the GoPro on your car? And he goes, you're nuts. And I was like, okay, that was at Elma. This is a different track. I don't think it'll be the same thing. He's like, okay, you can throw it on. We threw the GoPro on his car, and he actually did pretty good that night, I believe. So we're like, see, I like convinced him. I was like, see, it's only at Elma. You can't run a GoPro. And then the next week, I believe he blew up a motor with the GoPro on. So I haven't put a GoPro on his car since then.
All right. Do you ever see yourself doing more traveling for racing? As you maybe get a 360 and potentially a 410, do you want to go around and travel more?
Yeah, I would definitely like the travel more. I mean, my kind of goal and future goal has been, like, moving down to, like, California or, like, Indianapolis or something, just to run some different tracks. I mean, everyone wants to go race at California. They have, a bunch of track options. But, like, even, like, in the East, like, Indiana and stuff like that, like, there's some good races there in, like, Pennsylvania. Like, if I couldn't race down in California, I would definitely go down to Pennsylvania.
Now, what are bucket list tracks for you?
I want to race at California. I have to race at Tulare and Placerville. I have to race at those two tracks at least once. But, like, everyone obviously wants to go to Knoxville and race one of those. So that's definitely, like, on my bucket list. But I've always wanted to run Port Royal. I think that track would be fun.
That would be one of my favorites.
I
love Port Royal.
Yeah, Reese doesn't like it.
So are you a fan of kind of half miles, or do you like the bull rings? Or do you really have a care in race either?
I would race either. I definitely like the bull rings. I feel like the bull rings produce good, like, better shows. It's kind of more racy. At the half miles, like, you tend to get in, like, clean air, and it's kind of hard to catch the leader. Where at, like, the bull rings, you have clean air for 3-4 laps, then you're in lap traffic. Mm-hmm. So I think the bull rinks tend to bring better racing.
Oh, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
It brings a closer quarter type deal, yeah. Well, Blake, unless you got anything else?
I'm all good.
thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, Jaden.
This has been fun. Good luck in your points battle with Jessen. And I know you guys are two good friends, so it probably is fun either way, but it'll still be a battle.
Yeah, no, it's. I definitely think that this season is going to come down to the wire. I think it's going to come down to championship night, which I don't want it to, but I have a feeling that's what it's going to be. So I think these next few races are going to be pretty interesting.
Well, we look forward to watching it, Jane. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone. A great chat there with Jaden Whitney, one of the rising superstars here at Skagit Speedway. Right now has control of the Sportsman Point Championship lead, as we've talked about throughout the show. Just 20 points separating the top three, probably the best points battle here at Skagit Speedway between Jaden Whitney, Steven Hendrickson, and Justin Jacobson. But Jaden's got a very, very bright future, and a lot of that's tied to Skagit Speedway, which is super exciting.
It's so fun. I mean, we talked about it with Jaden. How much talent there is in this sport. I feel like I beat a dead horse, and we beat a dead horse talking about it so much, but it's true. How much talent there is in this sporty class that's going to elevate into the next level. You heard Jane talk about he has aspirations to go for a 3.6 in next year, and then aspirations to go into that 4.10. And he's not alone. I'm sure Jessen wants to do the same thing. We've seen Steven Hendrickson already make some 3.60 starts this year.
Kira Zylstra.
Like,
she's made 3.60 starts, and Macy Logsdon, I would imagine, in another year or two, we'll start to see her in a 360.
And she's done really well for her rookie year. She's been fifth in points. She's got a win this year. I'm sure there's a couple things she wished didn't go her way that did.
It's a rookie year,
but some of the things are out of her control. I mean, she got caught up in a couple wrecks, but it was nothing that was really her fault. It's just wrong place, wrong time. That's racing. So it's been really fun and impressive to watch her rookie year. And again, she's the highest rookie. Jalen Serrano, though, seventh. So we've got a lot of good rookies that are high in the top 10 in points.
Yeah, we've talked about it. I mean, this is episode, what, 9? And we've hit it probably about every episode that the sporties, the future of Skagit Speedway is in really good hands when you look at the amount of talent running in the sporties that we expect to be moving up in the next handful of years. In the 360s, you've got a lot of talent there that we expect to see at Skagit for the next handful of years and staying here, hopefully, for the foreseeable future outside of, you know, maybe Jason Solwald. You know, you don't know how much longer Jason's going to race, so every race you get to watch him. And I feel like this year he's been as competitive as he's been in a while.
I don't know if there's really ever been a season where Jason Solwald hasn't been competitive at Skagit Speedway.
But this year he's got wins.
Yep.
And that's been fun to see as he's pounded on the door and he's won a 410 and a 360 right now. Trey Starks has control of the 360 points lead, but the battle for that second spot's a good one. Just 13 points separating Solwald and Jason and Colton Heath. Colton's 90 back, Solwald 77 back. Colton, the most recent 360 winner as well.
And that's a car I'm excited to finding watch. Speed. Yeah. What a really cool sentiment. Did you see Colton gave the breast cancer and his bowling ball and trophy to his mom, Carla?
Battled cancer in her past. Yeah.
It was really cool to see. Speaking of Colton, that was
neat.
Yeah.
Carla is as good a person as you'll find. Mm-hmm. She's one of those people that you just talk to her and it just brightens your day immediately.
Yeah.
It's hard not to smile when you're around Carla, but that was neat to see. And Levi Hillier, fourth in points, 129 back, and Jesse Schlotfeldt, fifth in points, and I don't think Jesse will be here this weekend.
No,
he was going down to Gold Cup.
Yeah.
So
he might
that opens the door for Tanner Holm to maybe jump up a spot. Tanner Holm will definitely jump into that fifth spot.
Yeah. And she's... The points lead at the top might not be competitive, but the rest of the way throughout the field, it is competitive. I mean, Trey would have to probably miss a night, and then Jason could make up 77 points or at least be really close, but Trey would have to have an awfully bad night.
Don't expect Trey to miss a night. Yeah, points. Exactly.
Like,
that would be uncharacteristic.
There'd be outstanding circumstances for some reason.
He had that bad night last race when he DNF'd, which was rare.
Yeah, that was rare.
So that certainly tightened things up, but Jason is just a picture of consistency. He just top fives you, top threes you to death.
Well, the other class, the way it feels like they've been here, and it's just been so long. The CG Garage Midgets are actually back. They've ran six times this year at Skagit Speedway. Shane Smith, Ryan Orchard, both with a pair of wins. What's impressive, too, is Smith has yet to miss the top five in those six races.
And you think Ryan Orchard's only missed it once, and Shane's been so fast, but Orchard really has had a sneaky good year. I feel like Shane maybe is the one you think of.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Orchard's been right there the whole season long. He's only 22 points back, so this points championship battle is far from over. Then right behind him, though, is a good battle for third, fourth, and fifth. Just 13 points separating third, fourth, and fifth. Nick Evans, Chad Kincaid, and Brad Pritchard.
You know what I would have been interested in? If Tristan had run more with two wins,
yeah.
He's back in 14th. How much further sitting? In the points that he could be? Because I think he was the first guy to two wins this yeah. year.
Yep.
But he's only made, you know, four futures with us, and that shows the difference. You can win twice, but if you're not and going back to consistency.
One of those wins was non-points, too, because it was a Dirt Cup prelim night.
Was
when
it?
He and Shane Smith got together. Yeah.
And that was a non-point. Okay.
Non-point. So, yeah, that's I would be very interested, though. Tristan's super talented and, and what he could do if he were in a car all season long. So, hopefully next year, maybe we'll get to see that.
Yeah.
Obviously, we see Tristan running on Friday nights up at Deming in his 9 car, and he's pretty darn competitive up there.
It's been a fun midget class. It's been it's fun 360, fun sporty. So you're going to want to be here at Skagit Speedway. You can buy your tickets online, skagitspeedway.com. Gates open at 5. Racing starts at 7. Cars on track.
Autograph session at 4:30.
Ugh, no one's
in the pit area.
No one's going to want that.
The pit walk. During the pit walk.
No, I'll be... speaking of autograph session, though, you'll want to come to the Fan Fest next Saturday because we'll have drivers set up there with the autographs. Yep, 2 to 4.
And is that Caleb Hart Fan Club night?
It could be. Caleb Hart will be on the live stream.
He will take pictures during
the... Yeah.
I'll have to wear my Hart Fan Club night shirt. And this right here will be the test to see if Caleb Hart listens to On
this
the Gas,
will be.
Because if he does, we will hear from him. So this is the Caleb Hart test. We'll see, Eric. Does Caleb Hart listen to On the Gas?
I think he does.
I don't think he does.
No, you don't.
I don't think he does. And that's why I'm going to give him a hard time about it.
All right.
We'll know by Saturday.
Well, Caleb, if you do listen, I don't think Blake does, so you've got that on.
I download it.
Okay.
I don't like listening to myself, but I do download it.
Well, but have you listened to the two times you've missed?
Yeah, the two I missed. You and JY.
Did you listen?
Not the whole way through.
Exactly.
But admittedly, if I show you how far behind on some of my podcasts I am, I am 3 months behind, or 2 months behind on Pardon My Take, and then another one I'm over a year behind.
Okay,
so it's downloaded. I will get to it. I've got to part of it.
I'm not offended.
But, yeah, I just don't like to listen to myself, but I did make sure to download the two that I wasn't on when I was back home.
No.
I'm scared to see what you clowns said, but...
You know...
Hopefully you were nice. I'll get to it, though.
JY was fun.
That's a good way to put JY.
Hour and 50 minutes. That was really fun. Jeez. And we could have went for 3 hours.
Oh, with JY, you could go for 4 hours and have plenty to cover because he can go.
So,
and it's fun. That's why we had him on last week.
So you want to listen to that podcast.
We had him on last week for a half hour when we didn't even plan on having JY on. But nonetheless, yeah, we've got exciting stuff coming. Obviously, we're all ramping up to next week's $126,000 to win Skagit Nationals with Kubota High Limit Racing. Super excited about that. We'll see if Rico can cash another six-figure check. He cashed an $85,000 check two weeks ago in Knoxville, Iowa, so we'll see if he can top that next week. But, yeah, the autograph session is going to be fun. We'll have the pre-race show. If you can't make it this weekend, we'll be back live on our YouTube channel. Subscribe. We are almost to 3,000 subscribers.
I think we'll hit it.
I hope we will.
Like,
and if you do watch a YouTube video, do us a massive favor and like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that really helps get our YouTube videos in other people's algorithms, which help us grow. And the more we can grow that YouTube channel, the better odds are that we stay free streaming in the future. Because John Hager, our GM, likes that.
Yeah.
And the faster more we can grow our channel, the more viewers we get, the better odds we have on staying free. Because that just helps grow Skagit.
And thank you for working with us through sometimes the technical difficulties. We equally know, as you do, that, hey, these issues are happening. So we appreciate everyone staying loyal and following along. We are working and trying to make strides to make these YouTube lives better and better. So
we spent two hours today battling or working on Gremlins.
Yep. So we see the same and hear the same audio things that you do. We appreciate everyone saying, but thank you so much for also just sticking with us because we will get this.
My biggest thing is, it's free.
Yep.
So we're working on it, even though it is of no financial benefit to us at Skagit.
Yep.
We're not even monetized with it.
We make nothing.
Obviously there's other benefits beyond just the money that we see directly from it, but it's free and we want to make it as good as possible. And we're constantly striving. Obviously we talk about it a lot on how we can make it better. And we have plans for next year to continue to improve it. And we'll keep digging, but we love the feedback, and we'll keep striving. And obviously, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns at Skagit Speedway, don't be scared to reach out to us on our social media platforms or email us, info@skagitspeedway.com.
You can find us at skagitspeedway.com or Skagit Speedway on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok,
YouTube.
That's it. YouTube.
Blue Sky.
Blue Sky. Do we? I don't even have.
I'll post the links on there. Okay. We don't have a MySpace. That's before your time, though, Eric. You don't know what MySpace is, but nonetheless, we love hearing feedback from you guys, and obviously, we can take the constructive criticism or just great feedback if you've got something positive. Everyone likes to get patted on the back too. Yeah. So, but we really appreciate everyone, whether you're in the grandstands watching every night or you're listening to the podcast and watching on YouTube across the globe. We do greatly appreciate it. We hope that you guys feel as much of a part of Skagit Speedway as we are.
Yeah, we want you to. And we have Track 2 now.
We do.
So which you goes can live listen. In the grandstands. Or can you listen to Track 2? And if, like, if I'm you in can. Minnesota, yeah. can yep. I pull up Skagit Speedway on
Grandparents
Track
2? Grandparents in Minnesota can listen. Or okay. if your family goes back to Minnesota for the weekend, obviously can watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
But if you want to just
driving
listen,
along on the road or something. Okay,
Track 2. Pop Track 2 on. All right. Yeah, that's free.
Yeah. Another free way to listen. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's free to the consumer.
It's pretty simple. Download on your smartphone.
App Store.
Track Tune.
Yeah.
It's super easy. And download it. Actually, I got to set up our event for this week, and I had things pulled up and on the laptop. So that's new. We've done it once, and it went very well to me. I mean, I couldn't believe the amount of listeners we had in one night on that. So we'll keep pushing that and growing that. But just another opportunity for you race fans, whether you're in the grandstands, to be able to listen to Caleb and Eric and JY. I don't know if JY is going to be joining you guys this week or not.
I don't know why he would.
I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming he will be, but you never know with JY. He's all over the map. He's a man of the people. But exciting stuff coming up at Skagit Speedway. And this off season, we probably won't be weekly on the podcast, but we'll certainly do, I would say, a podcast or two a month just stay in there. I don't know if, you know, we'll keep them coming. So don't think
we'll have some good guests on there too.
Yeah, we've got Eric and I kind of have some plans on some guests that we're like, we'd like to have them on, but we want to go more in depth and do kind of a deep dive with them and keep it maybe for off season rather than obviously the season. We want to stay with what is happening at Skagit Speedway and our superstars, but we've got some fun plans for the off season.
I'm excited.
Eric and I have kind of got boiling in the back. And if you have some guests that you want to see us have, whether it's someone from the past or current, especially in the past, because current, I feel like we've got a pretty good handle on that. But if you have past drivers here at Skagit, don't be scared to reach out to us and let us know. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well,
other than that, gates open at 5. Racing
we'll see
at 7.
You on
get
Saturday
your tickets
night.
Online. Skagitspeedway.com.
Weather looks beautiful for Saturday.
Thank
so
goodness.
Come out and join us because the weather for Saturday, looking at it, the high, it's going to be toasty, but it's going to be beautiful. The high is 86. The low is 58. And looking at the weather for next week, high on Thursday, 77. High on Friday, 75.
Perfect.
The low, 62 and 59. That is Chamber of Commerce weather. So hopefully come out, buy some beer, buy some Coke.
But if you get cold, buy
nuggets.
Your hoodies too.
Yes, we've got new merch coming. And another thing before we go, we've talked about in the past, is speaking of merch, if you see a t-shirt you like, the Skagit Speedway t-shirt, that's make sure you buy it then. Because the way we're doing our merchandise this year is small runs. So once it's gone, it's gone. So don't assume, I'll get it next week.
You might not.
It may not be there next week. And once it's gone forever. So it's one of those speak now or forever hold your peace type things. But that's kind of how we're doing things this year. And it's been fun. And we opened things up for design ideas this past off season. That was kind of neat to do.
Cool,
and we're working through. These designs are fan submitted designs, which is even cooler. That we had a lot of designs from all over the country. It wasn't just Washington designs. Like the design we have right now, a 16-year-old 305 driver from Kentucky designed it. So that was pretty cool to me. But Eric, next week we'll have a high limit guest.
Yep.
We'll work on getting a high limit driver for next week.
We've got ideas.
Yeah, we do.
Other than that, look forward to next week. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you here at Skagit Speedway this Saturday. Take care, everyone.